You are Locked On Seahawks, your daily Seattle Seahawks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hi, and welcome to the Locked On Seahawks podcast. I am Grant Goldberg, joined by Spike Friedman. And Spike, I know the Pro Bowl rosters were announced today, and if there was a podcast Pro Bowl, I think we'd make it. I think, you know, we put out content consistently. We put out good, consistent stuff, which you can find on LockedOnSeahawks.com, and you can find it on @LockSeahawks on Twitter. I think we do enough to warrant getting voted to the podcast Pro Bowl.
Yeah, sure. Why not? I mean, look, the Pro Bowl is a popularity contest. We're two very popular guys. Grant, you know, is a legend in the world of both Seahawks and Lakers blogging. I am, you know, the guy who blogs about the Seahawks for an all weekly, so maybe less of a legend. But, you know, we're at the very least Pro Bowl alternates. We are at the very least Pro Bowl alternates.
And if we're alternates and we don't make the Super Bowl, obviously, whoever's in the Super Bowl, we're going to replace. So, you know, we're going to be in there. I mean, people drop out of the Pro Bowl all the time. We know we're going to Hawaii for this.
I will say our crossover with Locked On Eagles, man, those dudes, Ben Solak, he really knows his stuff. And so if the Eagles end up, you know, getting to the Super Bowl with Nick Foles as quarterback, we will step in and do film study on their behalf.
Right, we'll pick up where they leave off if they make the Super Bowl. Like we said, you can find all our stuff on LockedOnSeahawks.com, @LockSeahawks on Twitter. You can find stuff that I post on Twitter, @GrantGoldberg, and you can find Spike's stuff, @SpikeFriedman, and on The Stranger. And Spike, like we said, there's Pro Bowl stuff today. We'll talk about Dallas a little more in depth, too. But the four Seahawks that were voted to the Pro Bowl were Russell Wilson, Earl Thomas, Bobby Wagner, and Jimmy Graham. I know Graham has had a down year in terms of his career, but it's also been a down year for NFC tight ends. I think we were mentioning that before the show. You want to elaborate a little more on that?
Yeah, I mean, Graham, I wouldn't say it was necessarily a down year for him. Obviously, he's not hitting the peaks he hit with Drew Brees as quarterback, but he's had, you know, he's been such a solid red zone target for the team. He's been inconsistent this year, obviously, as one catch in the last two games. He obviously started off the season with a couple of crucial drops. He had a crucial drop last week against the Rams. He's not been as sure-handed as you'd like for a tight end who doesn't bring much to the running game as a blocker. That said, man, looking across the NFC, Zach Ertz has been great this year, and at tight end, there really isn't anyone else who has established themselves as really solid. I mean, like, your other option would be an elderly Jason Witten. I mean, Greg Olsen, also elderly, has been injured. The Seals Jones on the Cardinals has had his moments. O.J. Howard has had his moments. And Connor Braid has had his moments in Tampa Bay. But for both of them, A, they're splitting catches from each other, and that team is hot garbage, as we saw as last night or the night before when we were rooting against them we were rooting for the Buccaneers to beat the Falcons. So, I mean, Jimmy has been a clear number two NFC tight end, even though he's also been both occasionally brilliant, but also a bit of a disappointment again this year.
Yeah, for a tight end who, you know, surprisingly doesn't break a whole lot of tackles at 6'6 and, you know, over 240 pounds, like, you think he'd break a little more tackles, but, you know, not having the ability to shake anybody, you're going to need to make those catches to get the yards that you can. And so that's something that, you know, has kind of stuck with me with Jimmy Graham all year. I mean, he's been fantastic in the red zone, definitely a step up from the past few years. But, yeah, when you look across the board, he does enough to warrant getting voted in. And so do the other guys. Russell Wilson's MVP candidate. Not so much anymore, but at the time of the voting, yes. Bobby Wagner, potential defensive player of the year. And Earl Thomas is Earl Thomas. And then you have four alternates this year. A couple of them kind of questionable, we must admit. There's Michael Bennett. There's Doug Baldwin. But there's also Cam Chancellor. And Tyler Lockett as a returner, who's been right in the middle of a sputtering special teams game for the Seahawks all year.
Yeah, I mean, Lockett, he's amassed a ton of net return yards, but a lot of that speaks to, A, the fact that the Seahawks defense has taken a step back this year, which means he's had more opportunities, and B, the fact that he takes it out of the end zone constantly and goes for 22 or 18 yards. Those add up, but they aren't good yards. He is not breaking big returns. He's had one, maybe two games where he's had an impact on the return game. It's been pretty disappointing from Lockett this year. Chancellor was largely good this year. He had ups and downs when he was healthy, but he hasn't been healthy much. I mean, it doesn't really make sense for him to be a Pro Bowl safety. I know he had a really strong turnout in the fan vote.
Right.
I think the two guys on the Seahawks, for me, one of them who should maybe step in as an alternate but isn't there, he's KJ Wright. We saw the impact of losing him last week for the Rams. I mean, they were able to do whatever they wanted in the running game. And, you know, part of that is Bobby Wagner being limited, but a big part of that is KJ Wright's quiet contributions in terms of lateral movement not being there. You saw Gurley busting runs to the outside and getting tackled by Earl Thomas. Well, if he's getting tackled by Earl Thomas, he's too far down the field. KJ is the guy who's been there, and he's been really good this year. I feel like he deserved that look. He got that look last year, wound up making the team. And then I'll let you go off on our other potential alternate.
This one, to me, we didn't say it at first, but it becomes more obvious by the moment. Nico Thorpe. We talk about how bad the special teams have been this year, but he's really been maybe the lone bright spot, I mean, besides a couple other players, but he plays at an all-pro caliber level, and for him not to make the Pro Bowl voting is, do I want to say it's like the worst thing to ever happen? Maybe, but it's definitely wrong because he's played so well this year, and I think the Seahawks being as bad as they are as a whole really doesn't do him justice, obviously. We see him make all these great tackles. He recovers fumbles, and he plays, you know, he's in that gunner position. And he does as well as anybody in the league. And so I don't know what he would have to do to get into the Pro Bowl besides, you know, playing at an all-pro caliber level. So hopefully he gets recognition in that sense. But it's really disappointing to me, obviously.
Yep.
All right. Yeah. And I think now we can take a break after I got that off my chest. I was waiting a long time to say that. And I can talk with a clear head for the rest of this podcast. So we'll come back right after this. We are back. And I'm going to step to the side for a quick second. Not a quick second, because I know Spike has a lot to talk about. And it's pertaining to the Seahawks offensive line coming off what's one of their worst game of the season, going up against the Dallas Cowboys pass rush. And I think that Spike has just a tiny sliver of optimism for Seahawks fans going into Sunday.
I sure do. Ben Baldwin, who we mention often on this podcast, he did a cut up again this week of every pass that the Seahawks had in the first half, looking at the offensive line. And if you watch every single passing down that the Seahawks had on offense in the first half of the game, while it was still competitive against the Rams, a picture of what happened sort of comes clear. And the issue really wasn't that our offensive line took a huge step back. The issue was that the Rams, obviously Aaron Donald was destroying us inside, but at least initially, Dwayne Brown and Jermaine Ifedi, despite the penalties they were accruing, and I think if you look back, they were pretty soft penalties, all things considered, were doing a pretty good job against a very good Rams front. Now, they did get beat pretty badly on one play that led to Russell's fumble, and they got beat pretty badly on a play or two in the second half, but given how ugly some of the sack numbers and pressure numbers were against the Rams, when you break down what they did snap by snap, Brown and Ifedi actually looked okay. And the middle of the interior, like, they didn't look great by any means, but they weren't as bad as they were in the first game against the Rams when it felt like Aaron Donald was in the backfield in the first step. This game, Russell Wilson had a chance to make his first read over and over again. The rest of the Rams defense was just playing well enough that he couldn't go there. And so by the time he's looking to his second read, Aaron Donald has destroyed the interior of the Seahawks offensive line, and you end up with these awful pressure and sack numbers that really speak to just how well coached Wade Phillips's unit is on the Rams defense, and not really the fact that the Seahawks offensive line reverted to being the catastrophe they were in the first half of the season. So coming into this game against the Cowboys, where, yeah, Sean Lee is there and he's really good, and you've got really good defensive ends, it's still going to be a challenge for the Seahawks, but without that sort of Aaron Donald destroyer in the middle, I believe that the Seahawks are going to actually do okay in terms of the in-the-trench battle between their offense and the Cowboys' defense. And if that goes to plan, then I think that we're going to be able to score again. And we're going to see that Seahawks offense that we saw against Philadelphia that was able to maybe not dominate the game, maybe not put up 50, you know, like we could when we had a truly multiplicitous offense that was dominating and all that. But, like, I think we are in a position where we are going to see a good, solid Seahawks offensive performance despite the overachieving of the Dallas defensive front.
Yeah, I think that we really need to talk about, one, that the Rams played great coverage in the first half. I think that they really, really clamped down on the receivers, honestly, and it flustered Russell Wilson to the point where, you know, he was creating some of the pressure on his own. And I know that it's starting to come into national attention a little more that he does that. And, like, as much as he's credited for keeping the play alive, he also, you know, generates pressure on himself.
Yeah.
And just like when you have more and more time, when the play kind of, when the play is extended, the receivers are able to get open, create separation from the defensive backs. The same thing, it's applicable for a defensive line going up against an offensive line. And so when the defensive backs do such a good job, it gives the defensive line a little more time to get home. And so I think that, you know, we have to credit, obviously, the Rams for playing as well as they did. They had a really strong bounce-back game after the after what happened against the Eagles. And I think that, you know, Russell Wilson is going to be out with something to prove. And these Seahawks, you know, they don't lose in that kind of fashion. And I know it's kind of like rah-rah, but, like, they're going to be pissed off. They're going to be, you know, playing with that chip on their shoulder, and they're going to be playing loose, and they have something to play for, because if they lose this game, they're mathematically eliminated from the playoffs.
And if they win this game, they've got a legitimate shot of making the playoffs. I mean, it does require either the Falcons or Rams also losing this week. And I believe I did a breakdown in yesterday's podcast about how I think we still have a chance to win the division. I actually did some math on that, and I was like, they're only giving us a 2% chance, but I think it's more like a 9% chance. I did the math. It's actually a 6% chance. So just wanted to come back, be very precise with you guys.
You always have to check your work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because the Rams are, I think, 70% favorites to win one game, 60% to win another. The Seahawks are about 65% to win one, 60% to win another. So you do all that multiplication, comes out to right around 6-ish percent. So I think that's about where we are.
Right. And we want to thank you really quick for listening to the Locked On Math podcast. And we're going to come back with, actually, we're going to switch it up, go to Locked On Seahawks to close out the show. Stick around and stay tuned. We're back, and we're going to pick this game today. This is the Wednesday episode, and Spike isn't going to be with us on the Thursday episode. We're going to do a little mailbag. We're gonna answer your... Well, I'm going to actually answer your questions, so make sure you send out those.
Really good questions. When I'm around, you can ask garbage questions, because I'm a garbage person, but Grant, he's young, and he deserves better than what you'd give to me.
My time is valuable.
Really good questions. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. But we got to pick this game. And it's a little early in the week. We don't really know how the injuries are going to shake out. I'm just assuming our linebackers are going to be healthy. And so I'm just going to bring that into account. And I think Seahawks 27, Cowboys 24. I think the Cowboys are going to get some traction in the run game. I think they're going to hit for some big plays. I think it's going to be a really fun game. I think it's going to be a throwback Seahawks-Cowboys performance. And by picking it 27-24, that either means Blair Walsh is going to maybe look like he's going to be the GOAT, but then not be the GOAT because he missed an extra point, or he's going to be the hero.
Oh, no, I don't want that situation at all. we, if anything, like we've been like advocating for Blair Walsh to be removed from the Seahawks and placed as far away as we can, but that's obviously not the case. So I don't want to put him in any kind of situation where he has to be the hero. I'm gonna pick this game, and I'm gonna separate the Seahawks and Cowboys by a little more of a margin. I'll say 26 to 17, and I'll say that they went for two and they missed it early on. They try to be aggressive, but they're not able to do it.
Why is this team so bad at going for two? Very irksome.
Like you look at the goal line and red zone snaps. Like it takes a couple plays for them to get it to Jimmy Graham. So like for them to get it right on the first try, the odds aren't really with them. But I think the Seahawks will win by probably 9 points, and it'll probably be close, but then the Seahawks will kind of score that late touchdown and separate them, and Russell Wilson will return to form in that fourth quarter. And I think we get a really good game all around. I know that Dallas has a good offense. They're getting Zeke back, and their offensive line is all together. But I think the Seahawks team, as injured as they've been, they still have more talent than this Cowboys team, and I think they'll make enough plays to win this game.
Yeah, I agree. I think just being on the road, I just feel like it's going to be tight. I feel like it's going to be uncomfortable, and I think it's going to be a fun one. I think this one might be a fun one a la our last game against the Texas team with a really good young quarterback in Houston. So I think we're going to get a similar outcome. So that's where my head is at, which is a good place to leave you for one day all by yourself, Grant, as I travel to the woods in Oregon. So ask really good questions to Grant. Follow us both on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman. Go to iTunes, leave a review. Play draft.com. I'm a big fan of draft.com.
Yeah, it's Wednesday. We forgot to drop the draft.com in here.
Oh, God.
But
let's do it right now. Let's do it right now. I'm going to pick a team real quick while you do the rest of the sign-off. I'm going to be picking my draft.com team, and you should do it on your app. You should use the promo code LONFL. You should do it because it is a very fun game. If you are a gambling addict, don't do it. I feel very important about that. I just read a piece by Philip Seymour Hoffman's wife or widow about addiction. So don't succumb to addiction. Play the game and have fun. Okay. So, okay, Grant, you do your thing.
This is actually really interesting because like Spike's going to pick this team and then go away in like the trees. He's going to have no idea what's happening. And so we get that aspect coming into play. So it's kind of a mystery draft week. Spike's going to draft a team, and then he's going to go away, and then he's going to come back, and he's going to be a not millionaire because he's not a big baller like that, but he'll have a dollar or so on the line.
I'm going with a little quarterback named Rusto Wilso.
All right.
As my quarterback. Man, Kareem Hunt destroyed me in fantasy like last week, and he's up against Miami. That's very tempting. I like that. I also like Le'Veon Bell against Houston. Let's do that thing.
All right.
Boom. Boomtown. Julio against New Orleans. No thanks. Don't want that Marshawn Lattimore action. Keenan Allen against the Jets. Yes, please. And DeAndre Hopkins against Pittsburgh. That's my team, folks. Russell Wilson, Kareem Hunt, Le'Veon Bell, Keenan Allen, DeAndre Hopkins. That's a fun team to root for after I got routed in my fantasy semifinals. So I will have a team to root for. I love that.
All right. And if you draft a draft team, at Spike on Twitter, let them know how you're doing. and you can compare teams. Because oftentimes... you're going to be doing better than him. Spike has not been doing very well over the past couple of weeks. I like your guys' odds, the listeners' odds against Spike's. So if you are on the internet and you're leaving that message in Spike's mentions, why don't you go over to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, leave your Twitter handle in the review, and you'll be entered to win a Pro Football Focus Edge membership. I mean, I know there's not a lot of people doing it for our show. I don't know how it is for the rest of the Locked On Network, but I'd say you have pretty good chances. So go ahead and do that. And like we said, playthedraft.com and find us on Twitter at Grant Goldberg, at Spike Friedman, at Lock Seahawks. And, chat it up with us. We're always looking through our notifications and we always try our best to reply.
As long as you don't come at me about transit infrastructure, I cannot emphasize enough, talk football with me. I love to talk football. Don't come at me about the politics of urbanization in America right now, unless you're going to come correct. And in which case, slide into my DMs, baby.
Like we said, we're two very popular guys. And so if you get into our mentions and we reply to you, it doesn't happen every day, but we do our best. And especially if you come after listening to this show. So for Locked On Seahawks, I'm Grant Goldberg signing off.
And I'm Spike Friedman, wishing you a happy Seahawks game, also signing off.